here. We're working on Senate Bill 146 and 86. For those of you here on 93, we don't have it yet. And what I'm going to do is just recess the meeting till about 7 o'clock tonight. Or let's just we'll recess till 3 this afternoon. And that way, when the bills, we have a couple of bills that need to be read across this morning, then we can pick them up this afternoon. And there's some bills and resources that need to get read across that I don't know if we'll get them this afternoon or tonight. So. With that 146, I don't know who wants to start. Art?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Art Snowden, Administrative Director of the Court System. The judiciary would support this bill. The public safety wrote us a letter about a year ago, some months back, saying that in their view, there was no penalty section in the statutes for the enforcement of oversized, overweight vehicles. We looked at that, and we agreed with them in the administrative office, and the Supreme Court declined to set up a bail for that offense because of the lack of a penalty section. The Anchorage courts are holding in abeyance all citations that they have in that area. The Fairbanks court took a different view. They said, because there's no bail schedule, it's a mandatory appearance, so the truckers and the people who work for the weigh station would have to come in for a mandatory appearance in court, which nobody likes whatsoever. If those Superior Court opinions are appealed, the Supreme Court will probably come down one way or the other. Neither one is a very good solution. Neither one is a solution that anyone out there likes, the truckers or the state. This bill does provide a penalty section. It would allow us, once again, to put it in the bail section. It would allow people to be cited for overweight, oversized. We think for that reason it's good legislation. Another thing I would call to your attention, if there aren't penalties in this area, the state loses 10% of its highway funds. The state now gets in approximately $150 million, which means it would be a $15 million loss to the state if some legislation does not pass, which would create penalties for overweight, oversized trucks. I would be glad to answer any questions the committee might have.
Any questions, Art? Is there any jurisdictional battles in this thing, Art? I thought I heard rumors in the hall, but or is that another bill that I'm thinking about?
Again, the executive branch could probably testify better to that. I think from what I've heard, Mr. Chairman, in committee, that the question was whether it should be enforced by public safety or the Department of Commerce. I think that the Transportation Committee in the House tried to work that out, allowing Commerce to issue citations, but public safety would have to be responsible for the books and the numbering, and I think a compromise on that is contained in the bill, but I think that question would better be answered by the executive branch of government.
Okay, so this gives the Supreme Court the authority to just set a bail schedule?
Yeah, it does have penalties in the bill for overweight, oversized, and with that, the Supreme Court can set up a bail schedule on it, Mr. Chairman. It's a citable offense.
Oh yeah, I guess I got the House Transportation Committee made a change. We're still trying to find their copy of the bill. Do you know what they did?
I was there at the hearing, but I think Mr. Hanson could probably better explain it than I could.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Chairman, Terry Hanson, Department of Public Safety.
I just like to announce for the record that Representative Homer Gruenberg Navarre and son, Chair, are here. Thank you, Terry.
Chairman, the change that was made in the transportation hearing was strictly to have public safety be responsible for the citations books and keep a record of, make sure they record of dispositions and all books are accounted for. That was the change that was made. And we support the bill.
Okay, so on page 2 then, line 20 or that section.
Yes, sir.
I guess, is that the section that was changed? Yes. The commissioner is responsible for the issuance of books with appropriate citations. In that sense, I think, is that the commissioner of commerce then?
The commissioner of public safety, it was the commissioner of commerce, was changed to commissioner of public safety. Also on page 3, line 7, that paragraph, which just makes commissioner of public safety accountable for all voided or citations that do not go through the court system.
Any questions, Chair?
I'm sorry, are we looking at the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute or the Transportation?
Well, charged with we don't have the version that we're actually should be looking at. It's still in duplicate.
I'm going to have a house CS right now.
Yeah.
Be duplicated at the moment.
Which is the?
Just start with one that says CS for Senate Bill 146, Transportation.
Yeah, that's what I have. This isn't marked up?
That it was the change that was made.
Should have a number at the top, 509, 0597L. Okay, is there any other questions, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, yeah, we got one.
Is there anybody, John, did you have some comments you want to make?
Very good, thanks, John. Mr. Chairman, John Williams, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. The department also supports the amendments provided by the House Transportation Committee. At that hearing, the Department of Transportation, Public Facilities, and industry representatives also testified in favor of the bill. The changes offered by the chairman of the Transportation Committee, as described earlier, at lines 20 and 22 of page 2 and lines 6 and 9 of page 3, made it clear that the citation books would be issued by the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, do we have the second?
We have the committee report. The bill itself has three copies. And do we want to go with the House?
Representative Ulmer?
Yeah.
I will move that the Judiciary Committee adopt the Transportation CS. And that we pass it out with individual recommendations.
Does it go from here to the floor?
That's a motion to take House CS for Senate Bill 146, Transportation, 51487 bill, and adopt an individual recommendation. Is there any objection? Hearing none.
Thank you.
Passes. No, it goes to the floor, Max.
Okay.
With referred Labor and Commerce Judiciary.
Line it up.
Yeah, it says here.
Okay.
But that could have changed.
We got two minor bills.
You can check on that, I guess.
I will. I'll take it to the clerk and they'll take copies. We'll find out.
Yeah. What do we do here?
86.
Brand, this is your bill. Senate Bill 86?
Yeah.
It is Senator Duncan's bill, and I believe that Peggy Garrison is here.
Excuse me, what bills are you gentlemen waiting for?
63. Yeah,
House Bill 63?
Yeah.
That's in Resources.
Still in Resources.
Yeah, and that'll be up at 1:30 today, but I believe they'll probably use 53 if they...
They got the resolution.
Yeah, there's a resolution for a title change on 53 be on the floor this morning. If that's adopted, then 53 will be used out of Resources.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that won't be here. I just want to make sure people don't have to sit around here and wait.
He's not that big on it.
Mr. Chairman, Mrs. Peggy Garrison is here and has been here on a number of occasions waiting patiently, and so I would defer to Mrs. Garrison on this bill.
I'm sorry, she was sort of planted here for a while.
I'm booming.
Some of us came from garden and families, so we have a good crowd.
This is it.
You want to identify yourself, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Peggy Garrison, President of the Junior Garden Club. But I'm here today in the capacity of as the state legislative chairman for the Garden Club. So for clarification purposes, it's not just Juno. If I can go back, last year I wanted this bill introduced. It didn't get done. This year, we're at the closing of the session. If this doesn't go through, I have to notify the rest of the garden clubs in the state. And then next month we have our convention in Prince Rupert. I have to notify, this report will have to go to the whole United States. Now, we cannot remain status quo while the rest of the states move forward with legislation. And this is the whole purpose of this. We have been doing it by proclamation. And so I would appreciate if this bill could be introduced.
Mr. Chairman?
Grunberg.
I know you know the problem. There are two bills of this type.
Yeah.
There's a bill for another week that we have that's been passed by the Senate. My recollection is we don't have anything like this in statute at the moment. Though maybe I can be corrected if I'm wrong. What we generally do is have it by resolution. And I'm very supportive of the bill, and I'm very supportive of the other bill, too, but I'm concerned about the precedent, and I know I'm not speaking just alone. And what I'm wondering is whether we can accommodate you and yet preserve the policy of the state as follows. That what we would do, thank you, what we would do is have the bill and have a repealer on it after a year or two, and we would in the meantime introduce the concurrent resolution, so it would be by resolution. That way we don't establish the precedent on a permanent basis, but on the other hand, you have it officially recognized until we can reconvene and have the resolution. And I would then, as part of that, Mr. Chairman, have either an individual commitment or by this committee to introduce the bill at the first of the next session for you. So that would be an immediate concurrent resolution that would be introduced and gotten through.
Oh, so, okay, may I ask a question now? So then I could report that it's going to be a resolution and then next year it will come back?
Yeah, but in the meantime, this thing would be immediately effective.
Effective, that was
yeah.
My question.
Do you understand my suggestion?
Yeah, I was trying to find a way just to put it in the temporary statutes somewhere, but I
well, why don't we just put yet. A, why don't we put it, say, do it for 2 years and have a repealer? That'll give us enough time to be sure the resolution passes. And I would move that the House Judiciary Committee first pre-file, even if possible, a House concurrent resolution on this, and possibly the concurrent resolution would say June 1st to 7th of every year is established as Garden Week, and mm-hmm. the governor shall proclaim that. I was requested to proclaim that.
That's what we're doing now by proclamation.
But we would have a concurrent. It would be by resolution. It would be on a permanent basis, and it's drafted so it's permanent, but it's by resolution. Not in the statutes.
Okay.
But in the meantime, if we have this effective for a year or two, then we have, so they're covered and they don't have to notify anybody to the contrary, et cetera, and it gets out from under and we get, well, I'm sure we can get that resolution through.
Right.
Yeah. I still don't see how that works. I mean, do we have to take an action every year to pass a resolution?
I don't think so.
See, then why would we need to do that? Because the governor can already proclaim this every year.
He can. What I'm suggesting. Otherwise, we're going to have every.
We might as well just get the whole title over here and number at number 13.
Yeah. It's caused a lot of problems at the federal
pull
level. Congress
has
every week in the world, and to spend a lot of time on this.
I like gardeners. My mother's a famous gardener. Matter of fact, the tour bus operator in Ketchikan, all of them tour by mother's house. It's on the route.
I thought they were looking at that as your birthplace or the national shrine.
Yeah. Let me tell you. When I campaign, I advertise my mother as a cook.
Have you solved the problem? Are you putting
out? Oh, Max is getting into a resolution issue. I really like this, Peggy, and I have no problem with it, but, you know, my problem is just the methodology we're using of putting in a statute. We got amateur radio week floating around here somewhere, and we will have, it'll be just like on the floor yesterday on the checkoff system on the permanent fund. We will have a light in the statute for, and they won't even stop at 52 weeks, right? We'll start doubling up.
Yeah, because you can have a zillion weeks in the same week.
And I don't mind doing it by proclamation, resolution, whatever, but I just inherently have a problem putting it in statute. But
Mr. Chairman, I move that we add a section that would be a new section 2, and this would be, section 2 would become section 3, and it would say, that this act is repealed
June 8th, 1989.
I'm sorry, 88. It should be 88. So you have it for 87 and 88. And so, 89. It's in effect for 2 years, so it would be repealed June 8th, 1989. Unless it's, is it the first week in?
First week in June.
Okay, so June 8th, this act is repealed June 8th, 1989. And then that the staff prepares a concurrent resolution or, what?
An ongoing.
Yeah, but I realize that there are three garden weeks, but it's in a 2 year period because we're starting one this year. So we have two legislative sessions to get that concurrent resolution through. And that then I would also move that the committee introduce a concurrent, if that's the proper form, a concurrent resolution. That would be a permanent garden week, and that it be pre-filed if they can do that.
That's fine.
Well,
I'll do it.
Okay, I'm going to object that the committee do it. Somebody else can do it.
You do
it,
and I'd like to co-sponsor.
Okay, we'll do it.
How does that work? Is it an ongoing resolution? Or?
You can do that, sure.
I have no idea how it works.
Well, I don't either. I mean, it's a resolved by the 15...
Okay, is there any objection to the motion to amend SB 86?
Make sure we can do that.
Hearing none, the motion to amend SB
86.
Huh? You want to object? I'll object.
I'll object. I don't know that we want to put it in statute, period. I mean, why don't we just go till June 8th of this year? Or June 9th of this year?
Well, the thing I'm concerned about, Mr. Chairman...
is that it doesn't get through next year.
Yeah, and I want to give them a little bit of time, so because the political process, for some reason or other, it may not make it through, and so this way they're covered for a couple of years.
How about 88?
Trust me, I'll make it a priority.
All right.
We do have the rules chair here, which is
sure,
wonderful, the majority leader, and...
That's fine. I want to be sure that they're satisfied. I really.
Yeah, okay. I don't. You know,
what about 88? Let's make it 88.
Compromise.
88's fine, and we might as well do this for the Radio Week too.
That's right.
Well, Radio Week does not have a judiciary.
No, but those are the only two things that we have.
I move the bill out with individual recommendations with 88.
Any objection to the adoption of the amendment? Hearing none. Any objection to moving the bill? No. We're going to just stay in recess. The Judiciary Committee will be in recess till 3 o'clock.
Are you not taking these other bills?
I don't have them.
Jim is here on one of the bills.
I don't have them. I'm sorry.
I move it out with individual recommendations.
It's a motion to move Senate Bill 294 with individual recommendations.
I move this piece of...
Any objection? Hearing none. Bill moves.
You know, they have the bill on dams and reservoirs. Somebody gave me a recommendation that I move we pass out this damn bill.
What else?
That was
right
across last night. The only other one is 290. I don't know if you want to.
290, yeah.
Do I have 290?
That's right here.
Okay. Lady's over here for me. Senate Bill 290 is a bill dealing with supplying false information on fish tickets. Apparently, under the current statute, it is not a crime to enter false information on a fish ticket or to supply false information to a person recording the information. It's a major problem in our areas of subunits of the fishing area so that we get accurate data where the fish is being caught. So
I move we pass Senate Bill 290 out with individual recommendations.
Motion to move Senate Bill 290 with individual recommendations.
Can I just ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Is this a what is the penalty for this?
Probably perjury, Class A.
I think it's Class B, but I think it's falsification.
Falsification of the document, so it'll be Class B. Class B misdemeanor. 90 days, $1,000.
It's a false swear.
Okay, here you go.
Class A misdemeanor.
We still have the Garden Week one to sign.
Where's Garden
Week? Sign Garden Week.
Okay, anyway, I have no objection. Do you want to pass this in?
Going to say HCF.
Yeah. Mike's moved it out with individual recs.
Yeah. He already signed it.
Okay. Did you need to say on the record without objection?
I already moved it.
Okay.
290 moved without objection? Yes, yeah. Garden Week.
I move we take up the Naturopath bill.
Cute.
Okay, we're going to stay, let's just go in recess till 3 o'clock. We call the House Judiciary Committee meeting to order. It's May 16th, about 3:15, President Representative Grunberg, Taylor, Barnes, Son, Chair. Before us this afternoon, we have Senate Bill 93. There's a proposed committee substitute in your packet. This is an act relating to financial investments. Kind of a broad title, but... it's here. If we have someone to testify on this, Mr. Duncan's staff. Tell us what that
is. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dale Staley from Senator Duncan's staff. First off, Senator Duncan wanted me to apologize to the committee for his not being here. I think the Senate's under a call right now. And secondly, to thank you for taking the time to bring this measure up right now. Briefly, And I think there are some other people here to speak on the Senate Bill 93 to give you a good explanation of what it does. My understanding of it is that it would permit local financial institutions, local in the state of Alaska, financial institutions with trust departments to invest some of those trust securities in short-term instruments of the U.S. government, such as mutual funds, either through the trust department or the institution's own resources.
Okay. I noticed Mr. Kirkpatrick's here. Well, if you want to join us at the table, you're certainly welcome to. Perhaps you can give us the administration's point of view on this.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick, Director of Banking and Securities. If I may, I'll take Section 2 of the bill first. Section 2, as it's now written, allows financial institutions for their own account to invest in mutual funds, which in turn invest in legal obligations. About 2 years ago, I issued a letter to state chartered financial institutions that I would recognize that such investments would be legal. And this is basically then housekeeping of what I've already allowed the state chartered financial institutions to do. On Section 1 of the bill allows trust companies in Alaska to invest in mutual funds for short-term money management, for cash management of their trust account. Some of the mutual funds are designed for that specific reason. So with the House Labor and Commerce Committee substitute of yesterday allows, with this added language, allows the trust companies in Alaska the authority to invest in mutual funds for the purpose of cash management, the mutual funds of which then invest in short-term government security for cash management purposes. The department has no problem with either one of these sections of this bill. It's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that you're prepared to introduce a committee substitute out of Judiciary, which allows for a legal investment to also be securities of the, I believe it's South America Bond Bank, or South America Bank. Again,
the African Development Bank.
African Development Bank.
Do you want a motion?
I just wanted to, Mr. Kirkpatrick had a comment on that.
Okay. The African Development Bank, and I'm recalling now from last year's legislation, we had no problem with that because it's set up as the Asian Development Bank, and basically it's something that's encouraged by the United States government, specifically the Secretary of State. And what it allows through the development banks, it allows the financial institutions of the United States to own then stock or invest in stock in those particular development banks. It's not a direct development loan to the countries of Africa, but the countries of Africa can then draw funds out of the development bank of which securities have been sold by investors. And one of those investors, if this then passed, the investor could be then a state chartered financial institution.
Yeah, this was a bill that we, Representative Miller had in last year, I think, and moved through, I think, if I don't recall the exact numbers, but there's, I don't know, a majority of the other states of the country are, 22 states as of last year that have legislation that allow this. Representative Greenberg.
Are there other witnesses, or are you only taking them?
Mr. Baxter is here.
I'm sorry, I just think
you're right back.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I have no further questions.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Fred Baxter. I'm appearing on behalf of Federated Cash Management, which is a company that has a collection of mutual money market funds that do, in fact, offer short-term U.S. Treasury obligations for banks and trust departments. I would concur with the comments made by Mr. Willis as Mr. Patrick as to the two sections of the bill that he discussed. I think the only thing I'd like to add is that the amendment to, as set forth in Section 1 has been brought about by action taken by the Office of the Comptroller of the United States Government, whereby they have told the states that without this type of legislation, they would not allow or permit trust departments to have investments in money market mutual funds that are secured by U.S. Treasury obligations. As a result of that concern, my client, Federated Cash Management, over the last two and a half years, has worked on legislation as has been submitted to you in Section 1. That legislation in similar form has now been adopted by approximately 27 to 29 states. And so I think the language that you have is, in fact, something that is consistent with what has taken place on a national basis now. It also allows the trust departments and national banks to cure the problem of being able to make these investments into money market mutual funds and short-term obligations for cash management purposes. I have no further comments for the chair.
Okay, any questions, Mr. Baxter? Any other questions on the bill?
I did have questions of the witnesses.
Okay.
And it was just one, and maybe there's one among them who could best answer it. It says it was created in 64.
So this is on the African Development Bank. That's my, that's not in the original bill. That's in the judiciary proposed CS. I put that in.
Oh, okay. Then I guess the question is to you, Mr. Chairman. It says South Africa, 50 African countries, not including South Africa. And then I read someplace else where South Africa was not likely to join. And another thing here in the background material, the background is to promote economic and social development in member countries at near market or below market rates for loans. Why is that South Africa would not join?
Well, if you recall last year when this issue was up, the divestiture issue of getting people to divest out of South African investments was a big issue.
Right, but this isn't divestiture.
No, this has nothing to do with it, but the letters written were to try to separate this issue from that issue on the floor. People were trying to get people to divest, and this has the word African Development Bank in it. The African Development Bank is much like the World Bank and another development bank. This just gives an opportunity for the banks to invest in that if they care to. Maybe Mr. Kirkpatrick, you probably know more about the issue than I do, but it seemed fairly non-controversial. It doesn't say they have to. It says they may. It's another item. And they do lend money to these, to the member banks in Africa for development projects. So the title, it barely squeaked into the title, but I thought it might fit if it was
I don't have all that much objection to it if I just knew why it is that South Africa wouldn't join this group.
I don't know if that they wanted them to join the group. But Mr. Kirkpatrick, do you have an answer there?
If I remember last year, South Africa itself is considered a basically a developed country, and they're trying to hold this for undeveloped countries. I don't know if they were specifically excluded, but I think when it was set up, the purpose of the development bank were those countries that had basically emerging development, and South Africa really didn't qualify for that.
Okay. Any other questions on the proposed CS?
If you could just follow up with that, I mean. America certainly isn't developing either, but certainly being invited to participate in this program, invited to the tune of 17%, it looked like. But I guess I'm just trying to get, is there more to this thing politically to meet the eye as far as why South Africa is not involved or not would not want to be or is not invited or whatever?
Not that I know.
I believe you have the big backup package.
I do, right?
I don't have that with me this year, but I was going
to. I couldn't find anything in here to indicate much on that subject. I appreciate the comment, but I'll probably read it.
There's a proposed CS here. Is there a motion to adopt the CS?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Before you have that motion, could you again set out the differences in the original bill this judiciary?
That's the only one.
The only change.
The only change is it would be
Can I see the backup on this page?
On page 4, line 21-22.
The African Bank.
Yeah, the African Development Bank. Just to the list of...
I'd like to hear from West Corner on this real please.
Wes, do you have any comments? Or?
I have no further comments on what I
was asking about. Yes. Mr. Kirkpatrick testified on section 2, which is to add sections where the loans and acquisitions of a bank, and basically, if I understood it, he'd already authorized state chartered banks, is that right, to...
Correct.
To do this by letter, and this what confirms or reconfirms the
section 2 of, and I, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I have the original bill, but section 2 of was to add the authority for financial institutions for their own account to invest in mutual funds, which those mutual funds which invest in obligations of the United States government. A lot of times we found that the small financial institutions in investing directly into obligations of the U.S. government were not doing all that well. And large financial institutions like Citicorp, Chase, have correspondent relationship with banks that add a service of offering a mutual fund for those types of investments. So about a year, 2 years ago, I authorized state chartered financial institutions to take advantage of those mutual funds who did invest in obligations of the U.S. government. In Section 2, this now sets out that same provision that allows financial institutions for their own account to invest in mutual fund, the body of the mutual fund which invests in obligations of the U.S. government. It basically gives the smaller financial institutions an opportunity to use professional money management skills of mutual funds.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Barnes, the only thing that I proposed, that section, identical section 278, was already in the original bill. So in subsection 9 on page 4, I proposed to add an additional place where our banks could invest their money if they wanted to, and that's in the African Development Bank.
Do you want a motion?
We need to adopt the CS.
I move to adopt the Bannister 515 Judiciary CS.
Is there any objection adopting the CS? No objection, the CS is adopted. Any other questions? President Grunberg.
I move that we pass the bill out with individual acts.
Motion to pass out House CS for CS for Senate Bill 93 Judiciary with individual recommendations. Any objection? Hearing none, the bill is moved, and we're adjourned. We have three of us in another committee meeting. There are some bills scheduled for tomorrow.